Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katzlamitas. I work for Greenspun Media Group. I write for the Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly. The column's called The Cats Report. I write for Vegas Magazine, Las Vegas Magazine, and the new publication, Weeklies. It's called The Sunday. Find it at a grocery store, convenience store, fitness center, bar near you. Joining me, as always, is the beautiful, and I mean beautiful, Trish McCrone. Trish.
Thank you, and the check beautiful. Is in the mail. The Thank check. You for the compliment.
The mail is in the check.
You know, you write for all of these things. You are like, you kind of, I mean, your resume can take up the first minute of the show easily because you
like
do
does,
so much.
It?
Yeah. No, but you, I mean,
it,
no,
that.
No, you don't have to because, I mean, why hide your light under a bushel? Isn't that a comment?
It is now. I've not heard that.
I think it is. Someone's better look it up. Yes, it's very.
Why?
Thank you, Stephen. It is a religious connotation.
Hide your light
under a bushel.
Under a bushel.
So you're not doing that, but
well,
something that we have
on that point, Dish. On that point, a stitch in time saves nine.
I don't get that. I get the bushel one. I don't get that.
A stitch in time saves nine has to do with sock darning.
Oh, it does?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I obviously don't sock yarn a
well,
lot.
You probably haven't had a worn pair of socks in your life.
And I actually sometimes don't ever hide my light.
So. Well, speaking from experience, I've been too long between light hidings. So.
It is I'm a Catholic. It's a religious connotation.
Well, anything that results in you on your knees is fine with me.
Oh, my goodness.
Ba-dum-boom. Where's my rim shot?
Oh, ba-dum-bum. Okay, there it is. So, but since you do so much, something that we did not discuss last week because we had so much to talk about with Sundance and Nevada Ballet's Black and White Ball,
yes.
We did not get a chance to mention the big news that you've also been talking a lot about is the rodeo.
The rodeo, yeah. We've had two things, two great entities that are related to sports entities in Las Vegas that have been maybe moving, thinking about moving. We're trying to keep them. And one was the Wranglers. And the other has been the National Finals Rodeo. And you've been to the rodeo. We all been to the rodeo. I've covered the rodeo a lot. And for a time, it looked like the rodeo was heading to the shadow of Disney World in Osceola County in Florida, in Kissimmee, that area, Central Florida. And it was
Kissimmee.
You're Kissimmee. Is it Kissimmee
no,
or Kissimmee?
It's Kissimmee, but I like
Kissimmee.
Kissimmee.
It's Tongue-a-mee, Florida. And they were trying to get the rodeo, and it looked for a time like they were going to get the rodeo. It seemed like our LVE officials were ready to kick this thing out and start up a new rodeo. No doubt about that. So everything kind of mellowed out there about a month ago, and they went back through a negotiations process and it was announced about 10 days ago now that the rodeo would stay in Las Vegas through 2024. That is a huge financial relief to the city. Relief is right. Everybody is like very relieved because that would have created a major, major void in our economy.
And also, what would all the country singers in town that flock here to sing that week, what would they do?
Wither Clay Walker, for example. They'd all be here.
Where are the hats? Exactly. Where's those Wrangler butts when I need them?
Where are the cinched jeans when I need them? But they have worked out a deal that will keep the rodeo here. And that's a very important thing. It's $90 million. In non-gaming revenue that comes to this community every year at a time that used to be just dark. Before the rodeo
tickets
was here.
There was a time where it was sold out like 10 years in advance or something like that.
It's been sold out consistently since the second year, I think, it started to sell out, and then ever since then. And so it's staying here. The Las Vegas and the PRCA, which is the governing body of the rodeo, have worked out a deal. And Las Vegas Events in our city is going to be the sponsor of not only National Finals Rodeo, but all major rodeos across the country as a result of this. So our brand is going to be out there supporting the PRCA brand. We're going to be very much immersed in the rodeo, not just in the NFR level, but all over the country. Places like Pocatello, Idaho, for example, Houston, Texas.
Wow, and, your hometown.
Yes, so we're glad of that. We can't wait to see the rodeo guys all come back to town, guys and gals, next December. And that has been the big news so far this year.
And I like that there was Pocatello and Kissimmee in the same. Yeah. The same story.
Yeah. Speaking of Kissimmee and using your mouth to do things, our guests coming up are two of the men who bring Raiding the Rock Vault to the stage LVH. The segues need work, I know. They are John Payne of Asia and Paul Shortino of Quiet Riot and of Las Vegas.
And they will not hide their lights under bushels either.
No bushel hiding lights. There you go. Stick around. I know we will.
This is Kristen Herzenberg, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish. Las Vegas!
Yeah! You saw the polls. Americans don't want a machine. They want a product with a conscience.
That's Michael Keaton as the corporate villain in the new remake of the 1987 classic RoboCop. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. As before, RoboCop tells the story of Detroit police officer Alex Murphy, played here by Joel Kinnaman of AMC's The Killing, who is rebuilt as a law enforcement cyborg after being nearly killed in the line of duty. In keeping with Hollywood's current obsession with origin stories, the movie spends way too much time detailing every aspect of Murphy's transformation from man into machine, and it takes a good hour before he's actually out on the streets of Detroit stopping bad guys. This new version of RoboCop exhibits much less personality than the original, even if it does have a stronger cast and more impressive special effects. I give RoboCop 2.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is another 80s remake, a new version of the romantic comedy About Last Night.
What happened? He broke
up with me.
Get out of here.
His day. See, my parents
are coming to town, and I'm like, I want to meet them. And he's like, no way. And I'm like, why not? And he goes, because you're not Jewish.
He's Jewish?
Michael Ealy and Joy Bryant take over for the original movies Rob Lowe and Demi Moore as urban singles Danny and Debbie, whose year-long relationship unfolds over the course of the movie. They have a relaxed, natural chemistry, and it's easy to buy into their burgeoning romance. Regina Hall and emerging superstar Kevin Hart play the pair's bickering best friends, providing sharp comic relief without overwhelming the love story. I give About Last Night 3 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now are two of the stars of Raiding the Rock Vault at Las Vegas Hotel, or as we call it these days, LVH. The show centers on the discovery of a vault filled with classic rock songs and that is uncovered in the year 2113. And these gentlemen play and sing the songs of the 1960s, 70s, and 80s that made us rock. They are the guys who made it rock. Paul Shortino and John Payne, thanks for coming down and visiting us, gentlemen.
Ah, it's a pleasure.
G'day, as they say in Australia.
John, who is British, has become Australian.
He's become Australian.
He's been doing some AC/DC lately.
Yes, so. Because of that, and because of my criminal background. That's where we used to send all our criminals.
Yes, same with here. We were penal colonies of England. Both Australia and United States were penal colonies.
It still is.
Spent a lot of time on that. Nobody spent more time on penal colonies than Dishy. But anyway.
Living people will say about that.
What she does in her private times, her own concern.
We've got hotel rooms. Macaulay should be here with his penal problems.
This is a making
another appearance on the show.
I know.
Macaulay and his little friend.
I think we commented last time about its own dressing room.
We spent 15 minutes on
it. It's shrunk now. He keeps it in a shoebox.
Well, that happens when you get older.
I have to say,
it's only a foot.
It's in a shoebox. Although since our last show, it has hired its own agent.
Yes.
Own PR that,
obviously, that's why we couldn't book it.
Yeah, we could get Robin in, but he couldn't get him.
Exactly. They all have to go together.
It's actually Steve Flynn's biggest client. in many ways.
It's also Steve's favorite client. Yeah. I know he won't go to the show, but he'll visit Little Robin all the time.
Gives a whole other word, a new world for footing, right?
Yeah. you gotta love rock and roll, huh? So anyway, shout out to Robin, who never ceases to disappoint as a singer.
Yes.
Survivor in MSG. In the show.
Something you put in Chinese food, isn't it?
Or take out. I know you'd ask him about that, too. Where were we? Okay, John Payne. Now,
yes,
the show last year, Let's run a little bit of an update on what's happening at Rock Vault. Last year, near the end of the year, we were wondering if Rock Vault was going to come back to the theater.
Yes.
At LVH.
Yes.
And it's back now.
Yes.
And there was a little bit of a shifting of financial responsibility in the show. There's a little bit of investment by the hotel. Tell us how all this happened to make it possible for you guys to return.
It's great. I think a lot of people don't realize how many Vegas shows work, that you actually basically rent the theater, do all the publicity, and work the show. And we did that for a year. And now LVH have come on board as partners with the show, which we're really happy with, and they're doing an amazing job. Plus, we've updated some of the cast, updated some of the show. We've got a girl singer in the show. We have a new guitarist after our last guitarist's bizarre gardening accident.
It was a landscaping mishap. Yeah. Tracy Guns is who you're talking about. Let's name check everybody you're talking about.
Yeah, so
Doug Aldrich from Whitesnake and Dio.
Mm-hmm. And
killer player.
We have Carolyn Little, who did a show here called Masters of Rock.
Yep.
And also our very good friend Stephanie Calvert.
Stephanie Calvert, who's
she's amazing.
With Starship. With Starship. You got a couple of women who can really, sing the best in the business in the city.
Howard, even one of the songs we do is Hearts Alone, which is one of the key songs in Howard's career with Heart. And he said that when she first sang it, it gave him goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very hard song to sing.
She said that the rehearsal when she sang that song, I talked to her last night, and to sing it in front of Howard was as nervous as she's ever been to audition and rehearse that song for Howard.
Can you imagine?
I mean, I don't know. It's got to be you either. That's the most important thing you can sing in the show.
Intimidating.
You
know? She's the only girl in the show, and we've done 200 shows, so we're a lot more comfortable with the place and each other. And there's a new person in, and you're told from Cole to go to a song that starts at the bottom of your range in a verse, and then we do the second verse. She does the second chorus scream, and she nailed it.
Mm-hmm. And we were starting to talk about the commitment from the hotel.
Yeah.
And there was a key moment in November of last year where you had to convince the people who had their hands on the purse strings that they would be able to do this.
Pleased that the support has been from the whole management, the whole financial team behind it. It's quite surprising, really. So it's given us a great lease of life and a reason to rewrite the show a little bit and trim some things and try and make it more appealing. And
and a lot of support from the locals too.
Yeah, it's a local show. Yeah, it really is.
It is.
It has been so far. A lot of repeat customers.
I know the audience.
I sit there in the audience. Yeah. You know me, too. Yeah. But all the people around me, I know them. They know you guys. We all know each other. Yeah.
I've seen it three times, and I think that I've probably seen it the least of anybody in the audience the last time I saw it.
And in Vegas.
Yes.
You're really slacking, actually.
I know. I can't believe I've only seen it three times.
Actually, a lot of people now we're meeting as we sign some of the merchandise are booking their trips.
Mm-hmm.
From Europe, and now Doug being on board, he has a large following of Asians.
Yeah.
One guy booked a trip from Henderson the other day as well. it's so funny saying that because I look at some of the reviews on TripAdvisor, which has been very kind to us, and some guy said, guys, you've got to go to this show. It's really worth making the trip from the Strip. And there is that thing in Vegas where people have a Strip.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is a couple of blocks off the bloody Strip.
I know.
And
it's just
it's
one
really
block
worth
over.
That journey.
Well, I get tripped out when people go, you know, boy, the traffic here is unbelievable. And if you've lived in L.A., you know, it's like it takes you hours to get places.
A block. Mm-hmm.
You know, here it's like 20 minutes. When I first moved here 8 years ago, it was like 20 minutes to Henderson. 20 minutes. It used to take me 20 minutes just to get down the mountain where I lived.
Yeah,
in L.A., you know. But nothing's far here in town.
No, actually, as a local, I prefer going to places like that, like the Palms or the Hard Rock or LVH, things like that, because you don't have to deal. You
with
never actually have to
that's
go on the
That's why locals
strip.
Like all the station casinos, and they like the LVH because they got more parking and
And it's away from the lot of the tourists too.
Yeah. Yes, away from those tourists. Right.
And the hotel has done more than just, you know, support the show inside the theater. They've done a lot of work around the hotel and really branded as the Rock Vault place.
And I mean, they're really all in.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to Rick White, who's the VP of entertainment.
Great guy.
Mm-hmm. And he's been behind this show so much. I mean, he signed the show, and today I approved like a bunch of cutouts. So there's going to be like life-size versions of us be graffitied around the building.
That's good news for Robin.
Yeah.
For those few people who do not know, let's give the lineup in the show.
All right. We've got John and Paul as vocalists.
Yes.
Yeah.
Andrew Freeman. From The Offspring.
Correct.
You introduced him from somebody else last night.
Dio. Because Dio's disciples, but there's two bands since Ronnie, God bless him, died. There's two bands called one's Last in Line and one's Dio's Disciples. And Andrew's been singing in Last in Line, which is basically a bunch of ex Dio people.
Okay.
And so I made a Freudian slope.
And Andrew's been with Offspring. He's toured with Offspring.
Yes, Offspring.
And who else was
we've got we mentioned Robin. Mm-hmm. Carolyn, of course, and Stephanie, Jay Shellen from Asia and Bad Finger.
Right.
Howard Leese from Heart and Bad Company, and of course Doug Aldridge, the new boy from Whitesnake and Dio.
And Michael T. Ross
and
Marquise.
Yeah.
Great band. Tell me about Aldrich and how you were able to get him in the band. Because he is the guy, you look at this lineup, and the rock guitarist model is Doug Aldrich, isn't he?
And I've always said that.
Like, he looks like how you draw it up in rock guitar school.
If you were going to have this rock Thor of guitar, long blonde hair, abs, and doing all the shapes, it's Doug. And I toured with Doug with Dio about maybe 6 years ago with Asia. Asia and Dio toured. And Doug just knocked me out every night. And I always thought I'd really love to work with the guy. Ironically, he'd worked 20 years ago with Jay in a band called Hurricane, which was Jay Shellen, Doug, and a guy called Kelly Hansen, who's now the singer in Foreigner. So that was a...
Who was a great singer.
He was a great singer.
That, and what is it? Tony Cavazzo, I think, was on bass.
That's right. So, I tried to get Doug last year, and he goes, no, David and I are doing too much. We've got a new album out. And now that, Doug's got a young child as well, and this really suits him being in one place. Plus, Whitesnake aren't touring this year. And it's so cool that even David Coverdale's been tweeting about the show as well.
Is he going to be one of your
get him in. Yeah.
That would be a great move, obviously.
Yeah. Now, are you guys getting a lot of performers trying to get into the show now, I would imagine, because it's such a hit that you're getting called from everybody.
Yeah, a stripper go up on stage.
What I did last night.
I can tell you that I've heard from people that I haven't heard from in years that want to get in the rating the Rock Vault. I mean, they've, bass players, drummer, Carmine Appice, Phil Soussan, Yes. And I said, John is the bass player, and it's his show, and so I don't think that we'll be needing a bass player, but they have, ideas, John and everybody that put the show together have ideas of eventually having other companies like the Trans-Siberian.
Well, John and I were also talking last night, about possibility of taking this to Macau and to Singapore and stuff like that, where we would have a different cast, but it would still be the same model of guys from name bands.
Yeah, this has been kind of a goal of yours since you opened here at the at LVH, was to kind of franchise it out, right?
Yes.
Just have a touring version of
Well,
it.
Well, I mean, initially...
City show in other cities.
Initially, I just wanted to keep going with Asia, which I'm still, I'm still working on mixing an album. I just mixed a new Asia album now.
Oh, really?
And that should be coming out soon. But my goal was actually to stay here for 3 months, set it up, and go on with touring with Asia and doing that stuff. But I love it so much, I can't leave.
That's a good way to be.
It's, you don't have to be in a tour bus every night. Yeah. And there's so much camaraderie on stage and the way... It's so strange that after 200 shows you think, I'd be bored to hell, especially playing someone else's songs. I'm more bored with playing Heat at the moment. No, I'm not bored at all, actually. It's wonderful.
It's a great show. It's a lot of fun. And I feel the creativity of it is the changing. Because mm-hmm. we can do that as being creative yeah. because the show is the show. And you just have to be on your game every night because it's 5 nights a week.
Well, I know that nobody has more fun in their job than you do, Paul.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, when you come out, it's just the energy is incredible. You are obviously having a good time. Is this a highlight or the highlight of your career being in this show?
You know what? This is my dream come true. I had written down just before I met John, and we had met at Ronnie's memorial, and he got a hold of me later. And I did Honky Tonk Woman, and he never mentioned this show or anything.
Yeah, I was just recording with some people yeah. just to get this going.
And I wrote down on my board, I read a book from Rhonda Byrne called The Power, which was a sequel to The Secret. It's all okay. the Law of Attraction. And her third book was called The Magic, which is the power in life is love, and the magic in life is gratitude. So I started reading these books, and I wrote down my manifestation that I wanted. I wanted to be healthier. I wanted to go out and tour again, and which I had did before I met John. And then John called me one day and says, I'm coming to Vegas. And he came to Vegas, and we talked at the Hard Rock Hotel. And he says, would you be interested in doing something? Mm-hmm. If I have a friend, Sir Harry Cowell, and we have some things that we're putting together, will you be in? I says, I'm in. It was just after I had recorded the Honky Tonk Woman thing, and I didn't know what he was talking about. Otherwise, when I did the Honky Tonk Woman, I put a little Shortino into it, you know, but I would have done it a little more like Jagger because I wasn't aware of what we were doing. And then he calls me and says, come to rehearse. And the next thing I know, we're doing a sizzle. Next thing I know, everything that I wanted on my board is happening.
It blew up so quick. I mean, I've been working on this not from when it started, for 2 years. And then in November of 2012, we did our first show. And then in January, we were in talks about signing with the LVH.
Yep. It
happened so quickly. I mean, mm-hmm. I didn't even initially envisage it as an Asia show. It was going to be a touring thing.
Mm-hmm.
And after the Mind show, everyone's going, you should take this to Vegas. You should take it to Vegas.
And yeah. then they called me.
And, yeah. I, and you are the local
connection. I was going to say, Paul, this had to be yeah. so amazing for you.
That oh, it was.
And you're like, you're the hometown boy.
Yeah, because I had up on my board. I'd love to have a show in town with my face on billboards and what John Payne shows up.
And he was a vector for it. You know, he said, John, I think you can arrange a meeting with this casino. We arranged a meeting. And it was like deal done there.
Yeah, wow. I sat there.
Our only meeting, yeah.
I sat there and John and Harry were sitting there and boom, next thing you know, we're going in and I'm going,
you know, that's amazing.
It's funny, there is kind yeah. of a classic rock renaissance happening in Las Vegas, you know,
over oh,
the last
yeah.
couple of years. Since yeah. about when you guys, right in the middle of it, you guys showed up. But we have the Rock Tales and Cocktails thing going
yeah.
on.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
Adam Steck is putting together.
Yeah, Adam's doing
Rock
that,
of Ages, you know? Yeah. obviously.
Rock of Ages is in that mix. You know, there's just a lot of that energy around. Yeah, one of our most popular local acts is Yellow Brick Road. It's been around yeah. for yes, a long yeah. time, for years and years.
Brody, incredible singer.
Incredible.
Yeah,
and he
Brody's
started that.
Amazing.
How do you explain that? I mean, you're in the industry. Is this going on all around the nation or what?
This was a deliberate move by me. And the reason I wrote the show was even with Asia, I was just seeing, you know, even though we got heavy following, just the record sales, and I wouldn't just create it to like a band's career dying out. I was just talking to loads of other bands, new bands. Record sales were just going down and down and down and down. And the only money you were actually earning was from touring. And it used to be the other way around.
Yeah, exactly.
You toured mm-hmm. to support your
to
record.
Support the record. Yeah.
The music industry is live now. It's yep. a live experience,
which is
right?
great. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I also realized that I played in a town where there was an Asia tribute band, and they actually sold more tickets than we did. the actual band. Well,
did you audition for them?
Yeah. There are so many tribute bands out there. They're making an immense amount of money touring and cashing in on it. And I think John hit it on the head.
Man, you know, Glee and stuff were pulling yes. classic rock songs into yeah. young kids.
Which mm-hmm. takes place in Lima, Ohio. I was just talking
Does
to
it?
Paul Shortino. That's yes. where Glee
but
takes
it,
place, his hometown.
It has reintroduced
another Buckeye over there.
Those songs to a new audience.
And then the other thing
audience.
Is, mm-hmm. is that, you know, as rock and roll has gone on later, you know, before this was the Rat Pack, where those guys, you know, towards the end of their careers ended up in Vegas, and you know, you got the Elton Johns and the Bette Midlers and all those things happening. It's a natural transgression, you know, that actually the it's going to be rock and roll here.
Oh, absolutely, because of the baby boomers.
Yeah.
They grew up on rock and roll. So that is being, you know, they're the people with the cash now.
You guys would know this answer. I've had this conversation with Brody a lot about where classic rock ends, where it starts and where it ends. And Yellow Brick Road's been doing about the same set since I started watching them in 1998.
Right.
There's been no change and there's been no advancement forward in the years where classic rock ends, and the launch point seems to be the late 60s at some point. Mm-hmm. You guys start with the Who.
Yeah, the Who.
My generation,
which is 65 or so.
Yes, yes, correct.
And ends at about 87.
Yeah.
Is that right? I mean, how come we don't have more classic rock as we've gone forward several years and there's no songs
one,
that are
a lot of the
yet?
Classic rock stations died, and you know, even the big P1s and all that ended up becoming commercial stations, and advertising became so integral to those stations.
And program directors started taking over what DJs used to.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, it's kind of like
what they liked.
Music television died.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
MTV.
Yeah, there's no music.
Actually, MTV doesn't do music.
I know, it's all shows.
No.
I mean, it used to be I would watch every hour on the hour, and we would see the rocket go, and
everything
we'd see
has become
the, you know,
like
yeah.
a reality
and
show.
I remember waiting for Thriller to come on, because it would come on at certain times during the day, and I remember as a kid just sitting in front of MTV and just watching music video after
all
music
day
video
long.
After music video.
Well, it actually killed a lot of rock bands, I think, because then people didn't want to go see the band, or they wanted to go see them, but when they started seeing them on MTV all the time, or even in a concert atmosphere, they went, wow, why do I need to go see them? Or it kind of did both to one extent. It kind of gave people an incentive maybe to go see more bands, and then in a way it kind of, as soon as I saw what Christopher Cross looked like, I saw him get a Grammy, and I never pictured his
he got
him.
Like 13 Grammys. He got a lot of them.
But video I never killed the radio star, Paul.
No, I know.
Exactly.
It did.
The Buggles.
Here's a big thing that I think changed with classic rock and music, is that during those periods of classic rock, that as a kid growing up, I wasn't a gamer. There were no computers.
Yeah.
You know, there were movies. You know, maybe I'd go and see a kung fu movie as a kid or whatever, or a Bond movie. But that was it. I'd be either out with my friends, you know, on my bicycle, or in my garage listening to a Jimi Hendrix record.
Mm-hmm.
And it became so integral in your life. Now, music is just another bit of fast food in multimedia, and I don't think it has the same depth or loving that these things do.
Well,
I can't imagine a kid.
Or the ability to be live, actually, because so much is so heavily produced nowadays.
Sure.
It's on the radio.
Well, it's computer.
It's all computer stuff.
Well,
and also,
there's no
the
depth
aspect
to it, and they can tune things. They can, I mean, I can sit here on my iPhone going GarageBand, and I don't even have to play an instrument, and I can put together a song.
I mean, there are some great bands. There's bands like Muse that
they're killing it.
Just incredible.
Yeah. They're great.
They're a rarity.
I'm a big Imagine Dragons fan.
Yep. There are quite a few out there. You guys are helping keep it alive, and there's a lot of good live energy.
And a lot of young people are going back to that music.
I think the pendulum is swinging back.
People of all ages at your show are singing every single song.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
That's great.
And it plays. We're going to wrap it up here, but the show plays Fridays, Saturdays, Mondays, Tuesdays, right? Is that right?
Correct.
So that's the lineup at LVH, and you'll be there throughout the year.
And
right?
Sundays.
Yeah. Oh, and Sundays.
And Sundays.
Except for
Friday,
Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah,
ones.
Exactly.
But that is the schedule. Catch them at LVH, and you'll be there throughout this calendar year.
Yay.
We will.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Our friends,
guys.
John Payne and Paul Shortino of Raiding the Rock Vault.
We love Las Vegas.